I was encouraged with the scripture this week, and I'd like to look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It was a big encouragement to me. I'd like to read several verses. It's such a good chapter. He says, I therefore, in verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Doesn't that sound good? One Father that's above all and in you all and through all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and to the edifying of itself in love. We'll stop there. I just was encouraged with several thoughts here about how that God is. In verse 7, it mentions everyone, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I was thinking about how the Lord has gifted His people, has given different gifts, different talents, different callings, different places in the body of Christ. We all have a place, we all have responsibility, we all have a job that God wants us to do and to fulfill. And He gives us grace. I kind of thought about that word measure. I've done a lot of measuring in my life. You pull your tape measure out and you put a measure to it, a rule to it, and find out. Well, God has given us a measure, and that word, looking that up, means by implication, a limited portion, a degree. And in Sunday school, there's the verse that brought out that said that he gave Christ the Spirit without measure. Christ didn't, he had the fullness of the Godhead in him. But we have a measure. We get a part. But he says grace, every one of us is given grace. So we're given grace to fulfill our measure, our place, the place that God's called us to, the gifts that He's called us to. He gives us grace to fulfill that. We get outside, we get beyond our measure. There's no grace out there. But when we are operating in the measure, and to me this is what is so beautiful, the body of Christ, these scriptures just seem like were so precious to me, that God is above all, He's in all, and through all, He works. We need each other desperately. We need the gift that God has given, that He gives to His children. We want those gifts to operate. We want them to have place and significance, and we want to operate in the place that God has. And He works through His body. He works through His people. In verse 15 it says, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head. Verse 13 it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. So the Lord wants us to mature into, and when you look at the life of Christ, you think, I've got some room to grow. When you measure your life to Christ, you recognize that we've got places to grow. But I think about when they went into the land of Canaan, the Lord gave them land by allotment. He had places, He had areas for the tribe, and He gave them it wasn't measured out with a ruler, but it was to the river and to this mountain, and He had a place for them to abide that was unique for them, a place, a dwelling, a habitation that He wanted them to have. And I believe in the body of Christ is the same way. God has a measure for us, and He gives us grace to fulfill those measures. And I'm just thinking this morning, what's really awing to me is that Christ is the head of His body, His church. And this is what was such a blessing to me. I was in prayer, I was praying, and these things came to my mind, and it just seemed like I'm not the head. And it just seemed like it just relieved. It gave me relief, release. I don't have to figure everything out. I'm not the head. And we take the literal body and we recognize the significance of the head. It's from the head that what they teach us, all of our nerves, all the things, they go up into the brain. The brain, we do, it's amazing. I can chew gum, I can walk, and I can think all at the same time. It's amazing. Sometimes we don't even really think about what we're doing altogether. We hands move and things are being worked and things are being done. And sometimes we've got something in mind that we're doing, but every little movement, I don't say to my finger, okay, now forefinger here, I want you to push this on the keyboard here. And that's the way God wants His body to operate. He wants the church. We want to be fitly joined together and compacted. We want God to work. He is the head of the body. Our impulses come from Christ. The inspiration comes from Christ. The knowledge comes from Christ. So all my job, my responsibility is not to figure. And I thought too about, you know, remember Peter when he asked the Lord what John was going to do? He said, well, what's this man? What's he going to do after he got told what he was supposed to do? He said, what's this man going to do? And Jesus, what was his response? He said, what is that to you? Peter, you don't have to worry about that. That's not your... What is that to thee? Follow thou me. So the Lord this morning, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord is the head of the church. And we want Him to be Lord of us, of our lives. And He can give us... there's a scripture I want to get, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I looked that word measure up, and it's quite a few different places in the scripture, but I want to notice one here. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 12th verse. No, that's not the one I'm wanting. Let's see, I wrote down, maybe it's 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, it says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, I think sometimes we do this subconsciously, maybe even. But the Lord doesn't want us to measure ourselves by ourselves. To me, that can really perhaps discourage us and hinder us from filling the place that God wants us to fill. But He says in verse 13, we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So Paul... I believe there was another place he said that he didn't get in another man's line, another man's... He was careful to observe the callings that God had, the gifts that he had. He used those, but he didn't go beyond that. And that scripture we read talked about grace is given according to the measure. If we go beyond what the Lord is calling to us, there's not going to be grace in that place. But if we abide in the place that God has called us, then He can give us grace and He can give us help. The Lord is the head of the church. He's the head of the body. And He's able to guide and direct us and help us. And I thank the Lord for it. And we want to keep our hearts in tune with the Holy Spirit. When you read that last part of Ephesians, He encourages them not to walk as the Gentiles walk, according to the flesh. And it seems like that goes with the first part of the chapter because that hinders the body. That hinders the church. When we get too much in the flesh and not enough in the Spirit, it hinders God working all in all. But I want to go to Acts, the 13th chapter, Acts 13 in the first verse. He said, "And there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." What I want to mention is that it was the Holy Spirit that said, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to." Now, it doesn't really say how the Holy Spirit spoke that. It could have been, and it doesn't say who, through whom the Holy Spirit spoke that. The Lord could have given a dream. The Lord could have given a vision. The Lord could have given inspiration to somebody. But it was the Holy Spirit that ordered that move. It was the Holy Spirit that called Saul and Barnabas to that work. And when the Lord calls, the Lord is able to... He gives grace. That's the head. This is the head in operation. There was a great dependency upon the Holy Spirit to work. And we notice they used the word, they fasted, they prayed, they were seeking God, they were looking to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them what to do. And that's what we want today. We want the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful how the church can operate under the headship of Christ, the Holy Spirit being connected, like our human body, the nerves, and the things that go through to the mind, and the links, and how the mind sends messages. He sends impulses. He sends inspirations to direct us and to guide us and to help us. And we want to be in tune with that. We want to recognize God dealing and talking to us and moving upon our hearts and moving on our spirit. We want to follow what God has, what He calls us to. But I'm thankful today that the Lord is over all this morning. He's ahead, the head of the church. There in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, He mentions in verse 23, Ephesians 5:23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands." So the Lord wants us to be subject unto His discretion. And we want to expect the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we want to look for that. We want to look for the Holy Spirit's leadership and for His inspiration and knowing what He wants us to do. And I believe if we pray, we're seeking God and we're looking to Him, He's given us promises that He would guide and He would help us and be with us. Now I want to get Acts in the 16th chapter, another real encouraging scripture, Acts 16. In verse 6, It said, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After that, they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, that came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So here they, and once again, it doesn't really tell exactly how, because it says in verse 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Well, you know, when you think about it, it seems like the Lord wanted the word preached. The Lord wanted, he told them to go preach the gospel. But here it says they were forbidden to preach the word in Asia. But it doesn't tell us how the Holy Spirit, if he somehow there was a door closed or something that happened that made it known that this is not the Lord's will for us to do at this time. Maybe a later time, but right at this time. And you know, that's one thing that's really important about is the timing of God, the timing of the Lord. The Lord has a timing. He knows. It was mentioned about, Brother Galen in Sunday school mentioned about Legion. Legion, after he was healed, he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus. But the Lord told him, said no. He said, go back to where you live and publish the gospel. And somewhere I read that later, after that man began to publish the gospel, the word of the Lord came to that city and they received it. They received the gospel, that city. But it took some time, and it seemed like at that time they weren't quite ready for the gospel. So the Lord does have, he has a timing, he has a way, and the Holy Spirit is the leader of the church. He's the head. The Lord is the head of the body, and he works through the Holy Spirit to put the members in the body as it pleases him. But here they had a, then Paul had that vision, and it said, and he seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. It said, assuredly gathering. Assuredly gathering. You know, one door closed, and then this other door opens up. I believe that very strongly this morning, that God is able to close doors, and he's able to open doors. And Lord, help us to be able to recognize, I don't want to try to open a door that the Lord's not wanting to open. And I don't want to close the door that he's trying to open up. We are very dependent. We need the Holy Spirit to help us, to speak to us, to work through us. We want the Holy Spirit to have his way in our hearts and our lives. We want him to be preeminent in us. And we see this in the early church. The Lord, the Holy Spirit was... after Paul and the disciples, apostles, departed, it wasn't long after that that men began to take control. They began to set up a hierarchy, and they began to control in a fleshly way. They usurped Christ's authority. They took the authority that Christ was supposed to have, and they usurped that authority, and it brought darkness. It brought a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. But the Lord, He still works through His people. He still works through His church, and we want to be sensitive. We want to have our ears, our eyes. Lord, what would You have me to do? I think about how when Paul got started, how he had that bright light shone on him at the road to Damascus, but it didn't. The Lord told him, go in the city, and he'll be told what to. And you see the Lord working through His people. He sent, what was that brother's name? Ananias. He sent Ananias to heal his eyes, and he had a little message for Paul. He told Paul. And all those things began to add up and began to give Paul his sense of direction. Sometimes the Lord uses different witnesses to help us to see the road map, or to be able to get our bearings and our compass. That sometimes it's not all of a sudden. Most of the time it's not. Most of the time it's little witnesses that came in. And I know we was with Mike and LaDonna, and they told us, they kind of explained the situation that they had gone through, but it was little witnesses that added up, that they came to a place of assuredly gathering, this is the Lord's will. There were different signs, there were different things, that check marks that God helped them to see and help them to recognize, and I believe the Lord works that way, and we want to be open. We want to be consecrated to the Lord's will. I believe that's primary for us. To be married, to have a place, the gifts and the things that God gives to us, we want the Lord to be in that. We want God to lead us and to be in all those things, because If we're beyond His measure, if we get beyond His measure, there's no grace there. But if we stay in the will of God and we are looking to Him and looking at the signs that the Lord gives us, and He will speak in so many different ways, we've got to keep our eyes and ears open, and our receptors feeling and seeking. But the Lord worked through the church. He works through His people today. I'm thankful God still is in His body and works through His body. I want to close with Isaiah, the 9th chapter. This is the prophecy concerning Christ. Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Isn't that wonderful? It says, the government shall be upon His shoulder. And that was a blessing to me this week. The government of the church is too big for us. It's upon the Lord's shoulder. And you know what? When we put it there on His shoulder, we can have lighter steps, more spring in our more spring in our steps, and we can be more of what God wants us to be. But if we try to carry something that's too big, that's not ours, it's going to weigh us down. The government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it says, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it. To order it. In other words, to direct it. To tell this one to go here, tell that one to go there, that one to go over there. That's what the Lord is doing. He wants to order, He wants to direct His church. And Lord, help us to be in sync and harmony with His body and what He has designed for our lives. You know, if we get something out of joint, it can be a very painful situation. But if the joint is, if it's in place, the body is a wonderful thing. It works. It works well. And I believe the Lord's body works well also. But I'm thankful this morning that the church is on the Lord's shoulders. The government is on His shoulders. And He's still over all. And we want to be subject unto Him. And to be subject unto Him, you know, it came to me, we're subject to the Word, what the Bible teaches. We want to obey. We want to bring ourselves under what thus saith the Lord. That's being subject to Christ. If we don't, you know, in that one place Jesus asked them, He said, well, you call me Lord, but you don't do the things that I'm telling you to do. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So we want to be obedient to the Word, and we want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, the two witnesses that work together, the Word and the Spirit. We want to be submissive to all we know and understand. To all we know and understand. Lord, help us to be able to submit. Sometimes when the Lord tells us to do something, I had, I'll confess to you, I had my neighbor come over and he threatened me. He had a right. My dogs was running loose. But I didn't appreciate the threat. And I didn't say anything back. But you know how it is when someone threatens you, it doesn't feel very good. Oh. But I knew the Lord wanted me to, how should I say this? Not to have any feelings there. So anyway, Leah and I was on a walk the other day, and we go right by his house. So I felt the Lord wanted me to pull in there, to walk in there and go and talk to him. He didn't ask me to bring up anything. I just show myself friendly. So that's what we did. And it was nice. We had an enjoyable. His wife was out there. We'd never met her. I guess I probably can't say. I don't know if I should. We kind of. There was a little bit of fence when we were there the previous time. Leah made comment. She said, because she gets around the scooter, she has to have a little bit of a care. But Leah volunteered. She said, oh, I take care of old people. Because that's what she was doing. She was working for Grace Care. She was helping older people. that had needs. Well, she piped up from the bedroom. She said, "You calling me old?" And I don't think that set too well with her. But anyway, we walked up there. We had a nice time, a nice visit. So I say that to say this. It's not always easy to obey what God wants us to do. It's not always. But when we do, He blesses us. When we submit and yield. Because I had, there were some feelings in there that I didn't really want to speak to Him. But the Lord doesn't want us to feel that way. He doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to overcome and not allow those things to be barriers in our relationships. And God can bless and help us. But let's be subject to the Holy Spirit. Let's look for the Holy Spirit's. Pray for it. Look for it. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to talk to us, to lead us. If we don't have that, we don't have anything. We don't have what we need. So I appreciate your attention this morning. I just want to encourage us this morning that the government is on the Lord's shoulders. I remember that dream that Brother Mark Sammons had years ago. He felt like the church was, felt like everything was caving in. But the government is on the Lord's shoulders. And He'll help and see us through. We just want to keep our eyes on Him. You know, sometimes when the Lord asks us to do something, it's easy to look at someone else and say, they're better. And I believe that's kind of what it's referring to when it talks about measuring ourselves by ourselves. There's so many different gifts. There's so many different callings. There's so many different burdens that the Lord gives. And we want to be cognizant of that. We want to recognize that not everybody is the same. Not everybody has the same burden, the same gift, the same calling. But the Lord, it's all for the same. One Lord, one body. One baptism, one Holy Spirit. It's all for the good of the one, for the good of the whole. Appreciate your attention.